Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. Bar Canada at the D. Still to come this hour, we are going to talk to Jonathan Davis on the NHL playoffs. Looking forward to that. We'll get Steve Fezzik's week one plays in the National Football League. And Nick Whalen standing by as well. Adam Burke as well later on. What are you nodding about?
Nothing.
Okay. Just curious.
That's my nod of I'm talking to the crew right now, Gil.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please continue.
I'm sorry. I just bet Scottie Scheffler, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I bet Scottie Scheffler because...
Did you get a little longer number?
Little bit. Not too much.
No. I expect... That's what I would expect.
Yeah. Because right now, again, at the PGA, Xander Schauffele, 5-under through 9. He's got the one-stroke advantage, 5-under through 9. One-shot lead over Tony Finau.
Let's go, Tony.
It's your boy right
there. Got top 10s on both those guys. Let's go.
All right, Finau.
Not even really my boy, but he was that guy of like... I'm like, all the numbers say he should be good this week, but his putter, as it is for how much we've talked about Tony Finau's putting before, it's like real bad right now, real bad.
For those wondering where the crack man is, you know where the crack man is, Kelly? Any idea?
I don't know. Arizona? New Jersey. He's got to be in New Jersey.
He left the state to go make bets on the NFL schedule release because they're taking more money out of state
good on
than they are here in Nevada. Good for you, Craig, man. He'll be back next week.
Say, what's he betting?
I don't know.
Maybe he wants to bet him first and then let us know.
We'll get the Fezzik's coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's at RotoWire. He's Nick Whalen. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen. Substitute the number one for the letter L. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well, guys. Just another great weekend in the sports calendar. We got some huge NBA this weekend. Obviously, we got the PGA ongoing. I do identify, by the way, with Tony Finau as a horrendous, horrendous putter. You can say the same thing about me every weekend as you can Tony Finau. So I just want to give some support to Tony.
That was very modern day of you, too, that you identify as a poor putter.
No, you kind of golfers are annoying. Like, I'm the guy that's like, no, if it takes me less than 5 shots to get to the green, that's where I'm happy about.
Oh, you're excited.
The putting I don't care about.
How many times have you seen a pro golfer just be so upset with a shot of theirs, and you're like, if I could have done that, I would be so happy.
Yeah.
I would love to be 5-under at any point in my life.
That's right. Before we get to your NBA thoughts, this is fun with the NFL schedule, is that the notion of Survivor comes up as well. You have actually given this some thought for week one.
I have, man. I mean, I'm a sucker for the schedule release. I know some people complain about the NFL just, you know, monopolizing the sports calendar. It's like, you know, we're in the midst of the NBA playoffs and all everybody's talking about is the schedule release. I love it. I mean, we already know the teams everybody's playing. Like, there really shouldn't be any surprises here. And yet it is kind of like Christmas morning, finding out when your team is going to be heading where. You got to, you know, start to get some action in, right? All the lines pop up right away over at the DK Sportsbook. And yeah, whether you're in Circa Million, as I will be again this coming season, or if you're playing Circa Survivor, now's the time to start grinding that research. You know, I do a confidence pool pick'em league, you know, where you rank every game 1 through 16 each week. I'm already going through, you know, checking things out, doing some initial research. I think we have a few decent options if you're playing Circus Survivor, looking at week one. I think the most popular play, guys, is going to be Cincinnati at home against New England. That number is up to 8.5 now at DraftKings. That's on the rise even in the last 12 hours. I think that is by far going to be the most popular play. If you want to zag a little bit, you know, I think Seattle at home against what remains of the Denver Broncos could be an interesting play. I think there's a lot of positive momentum around Mike McDonald. I have no idea what Denver's going to be doing at quarterback. I think that's a team that will likely need, you know, a few weeks or even a couple of months to kind of hit its stride. I also like the Niners at home against the Jets. I know this Jets team will be a lot better with Aaron Rodgers, but you're still kind of starting fresh with Rodgers. He's coming off the Achilles. He really didn't get any reps with this team last season. I think that is a brutal, brutal spot for the Jets to have to go on the road to San Francisco in week one. And then the other one would be Tampa Bay. I'm still kind of making up my mind. Do I think Tampa Bay could carry over what it did last season? But I think they have a pretty soft landing in week one against the Commanders team that'll be starting a rookie quarterback.
How dare you, first of all, on that one.
How dare you?
I have not given it enough of a look yet. My instinct, though, is I don't want to burn the Bengals week one. I do not want to do that.
Well, you know what my first instinct was that? I found a teaser leg already. your obvious week one teaser, guys, is it's Packers up against the Eagles and Bengals down.
There it is.
I'm sure those numbers will still exist.
Your teaser of the week. The other issue with Circa Survivor is we have two Wednesday Christmas Day games. Wednesday. Let me repeat that. Yes. Wednesday. So you got the Chiefs at the Steelers, and you got the Ravens at the Texans. There's also a game the next day, Thursday, December 26th, which is on Amazon. Kelly, get ready. Mm-hmm. That's the Seahawks at the Bears. Now, one would assume, and you know what they say about assuming, it makes you regret what you thought initially, I believe is the statement. Mm-hmm. One would assume that they will include all three of those games in the Christmas quarter.
They better.
They better, right? Because if they don't, if they just, Nick said they better. Because if they only keep it to the two Christmas games, can I make an outlandish statement? You ready for an outlandish statement? My buddy Tommy always goes, can I make an outlandish statement, Gil?
Yes, please.
He warns you in advance. I'm going to do that right now. If it's only the two Christmas games, I might consider not playing Survivor at all. How about that?
Wow. Mm.
Because I think you do get to I think you do get to a point where you don't want to be involved. Forget the money. You don't want to be involved in something emotionally for that long and know that there's this two-game nonsense.
Gamble.
Oh, complete nonsense.
Coin flip gamble.
And remember, God knows something could happen and it'd get postponed for whatever reason, right? And then you're down to one. You can't have that. So literally it's to the point where if you have it, it's fewer than three games. I wonder how many people will be like, I'm going to do it. I said consider, by the way.
Don't worry. I heard that part. Yeah,
I consider not playing. All right. NBA, Nick, let's get to it. First of all, any observation on the Mavericks and the Thunder last night? I said earlier, this is a series I just cannot wrap my arms around at all. Like it's on paper, it's the second best of the semifinal series. But it's like the one where from a handicapping standpoint, I have no idea what I've been watching. And so the Mavericks win it and they win it handily last night. They're headed back to Dallas to try to close out the Thunder in six. That is not until Saturday. The Mavs are favored by four. Let's start there. What is your thought on this series?
So I have been a Dallas better, guys, throughout this playoff run. And I had Mavs in six in this series. Now we have a chance to of course cash that on Saturday, but I'm with you, man. I've had a really tough grasp or a tough time getting a grasp on this series, specifically from a player prop perspective. I really thought this would be a series where Kyrie Irving would be able to feast. There'd be all this attention paid to Luka Doncic. And instead, you know, OKC has adopted this strategy of throwing hard double teams at Kyrie Irving, especially over the last three games in the series. And for the most part, you know, Kyrie has just kind of sat back and made the right basketball plays, right? I mean, he's got, 9, 11, and 12 points, I believe, over the last three games. He's just not really attacking those double teams with as much aggression as you'd expect from a guy like him who's comfortable, you know, making and taking tough shots. And, you know, it's led to Dallas relying more on their role players, which in round one did not go well. They could not identify a consistent third option whatsoever, but the combination of PJ Washington, Derek Jones Jr., you know, Tim Hardaway has reemerged, you know, as a guy who they can depend on now off the bench. It's a dicey strategy, I think, over the course of a series to essentially kind of be okay with Kyrie Irving just taking a big step back as a scorer. And part of the reason this series was 2-2 going into last night, guys, was because Luka Doncic had not played like Luka. But when you get a 31-11-10 game with five threes from Luka Doncic, like we finally saw last night, that makes that strategy a lot more difficult to execute if you're OKC. So I wonder if we see a pivot on Saturday. Do they throw a different defensive strategy out there? Is this an opportunity to unlock Kyrie Irving? But I would love to take Kyrie over 20.5 points. I mean, his points prop, guys, is down like a full 5 points from where it was at the start of the series. But at the same time, there's just been so much game-to-game variance that I feel like I need to back away.
Yeah, Nick, I was the guy last night who did it. I shot for Kyrie 25 plus because like you're saying, like it's dropped so much. It's so tempting, but it might get unlocked after what Luka did last night. Watching him when he's hitting the step back threes, that's what was front rimming for about 2 weeks. And now that those are going in, watch out.
What's the opposite of a Steph Curry beautiful three is the Luka I'm just going to shot put this up there. Oh, look, it went in. Tonight, Nuggets, T-Wolves, game six back in Minnesota. Minnesota trying to stave off elimination. They're favored by 2.5. 205 is the total. What do you got here?
Guys, I'm back on Denver. And, you know, myself, like everybody else, is kind of flip-flopped two or three times in this series, right? I mean, when Denver goes down 0-2, you know, we start to write their obituary and start to coordinate the Minnesota Timberwolves and start to look ahead and say, man, maybe they could beat the Boston Celtics. And now you fast forward a week, and we're right back to where we were at the start of this series, where everyone's back on the Denver Nuggets. I think Denver has a very good chance to close this series out tonight, even on the road. I have no idea if Mike Conley is going to be out there. I think even if he does push through to play, he's probably not going to be anywhere close to 100%. I mean, a veteran like Mike Conley, who at this point is kind of running out of opportunities to make a run to the NBA Finals, that guy's got to be very injured to miss a game in this spot. So I don't know that we see Conley out there tonight, and we saw how big that is for the Minnesota offense, just not really having any other options outside of Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. So I'm on the Nuggets. In terms of props, I'm going with Anthony Edwards over 29.5 points. You can get that at plus 100. And I know Denver's done a good job on him defensively over these last couple of games. But even if you think Minnesota's losing tonight, it's hard to imagine Ant not going down swinging, right? I don't think he's going to settle for like an 18-point night in a do or die back against the wall game six. I don't know if we can depend on Karl Anthony Towns to provide decent secondary options for the Timberwolves. So I think this is an Anthony Edwards spot, even if you think Minnesota goes down. And I also like KCP over 1.5 threes at plus 130.
There you go. Very thorough. By the way, yes, no question. The Pacers going to force a game seven tomorrow night?
I think they do. I think they force a game seven and they lose in game seven.
And then they lose in game seven. Nick, great talking to you. Thank you for the Survivor Thoughts week one.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
At Whalen, that's a number one instead of the letter L for Nick. Jonathan Davis on the NHL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That is 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. Here's the key, though. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. But you must use promo code ANG.
ANG, it's just like a numbers game. If you ever see our show logo, it's just like that. A numbers game, ANG. Use that promo code.
ANG.
ANG.
I believe it's how it's pronounced. That's VSIN.com/subscribe, by the way. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, you want to talk some hockey?
Let's do it.
Let's do that hockey. Who says that in that promo, by the way? What's that from?
I have no idea.
No idea? You don't have no idea what you're talking about?
I don't
about?
Know what promo you're talking about.
All right. What we ended up having here in the NHL is, and I don't know that we expected this to happen, but we have three out of the four conference semis going to a sixth game, and we have a fourth that is headed to a fifth game, knotted up at two apiece. And to help us navigate through what has been a fascinating NHL playoffs is Jonathan Davis, everybody. We're always thrilled that Jonathan spent some time with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the host of Ice Cap on Sirius XM NHL and host of Show Me the Money Hockey Betting Podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at West Coast HKY. How you doing, Jonathan? Great to see you, man.
I'm doing great. It is, it's just a great night ahead in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We have, we've got another elimination game, and we've had three teams that have had chances to eliminate their opponent, and they're a combined 0-4 now.
Yeah,
in these elimination games.
Yeah, it's hockey, man, and none of these have ended. And so we have, as you talked about, we have one more chance at this tonight. One of the two is a potential elimination game, and it begins with the Rangers and the Hurricanes, where the Rangers still are up 3-2 now in the series, but Carolina is a minus 160 favorite in game six tonight. We're showing minus 166. And now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jonathan, this is one of those where even when the Rangers were up 3, they were up 3-0, right? And then 3-1. Now it's 3-2. I mean, this has happened, unlike basketball where it's never happened that a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit. It has happened a few times in the NHL. It felt like most people felt like the Hurricanes, even down 3-0, had a legit shot at this.
No question. I mean, okay, so you always hear, you know, the fourth game is always the toughest to win, and it's proving out so far in three of the four series. This is a series that, you know, really did have a feel early on that it should have been going six games. I mean, Carolina deserved a better fate. They had outplayed the Rangers in a couple of the early games and just kept falling one goal short. It's interesting, you know, I was texting back and forth with Jeff Benson after, you know, before game five, and you know, I was looking at the numbers, and you know, he had 86% bets and 93% money on the Rangers in game number five. Yet that line didn't move, and I think it may have been somewhat to do with the liability that books already had on Carolina. We're seeing it again today. I mean, the Rangers are getting 34% bets, but just 17% of the money, and that line, or the Hurricanes are, and the line keeps jumping up a little towards Carolina. I'm not going to play a side in this one. You know, guys, I'm looking at a prop, and because for me, the Carolina Hurricanes have changed the way they've played the last couple of games. They're a team that's really all about shot volume and not necessarily shot quality. And now they're going more for shot quality. So Igor Shesterkin under 30.5 saves is the way I'm approaching this game tonight.
Igor Shesterkin under 30.5 saves, the Rangers goaltender. So rather than laying the -166, you're going to play it with that derivative prop right there. Play the under saves on Shesterkin. Okay. As the Hurricanes look to force a Game 7 back in New York in that series. Then we have the one series that's still knotted up at two games apiece, and this is out west. And this is to determine what will be the de facto Canadian representative, if you will, in the final four here. 2-2. And you have a play on an Edmonton Oiler here, specifically on Leon Draisaitl. What are you doing?
Well, look, this has been one that I've been on since game one of the playoffs. Leon Draisaitl over 1.5. And I started out in game one of the LA series when it was +195. And here we are 8 games later, and it's now down to +106. And it actually closed at -115 going into game number four. But yeah, he's had 2 or more points in 8 of the 9 games. For me, you know, he has been the most valuable player in the playoffs to date. I just can't shy away from this prop, and I'm getting plus money. So for me, this is the safest bet. From a value standpoint, the Vancouver Canucks have tremendous value at plus money. So I can understand if someone wanted to play Vancouver. I mean, look, they've got 2 of the next 3 games on their home ice. I'm just more comfortable with what's been the safest and the best play from, I think, throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs is Leon over 1.5 points.
But if somebody came to you and say they want to take an adjusted price on the Canucks, you would be okay with that to win the series?
I understand. Sure. I mean, yeah. Look, they've played well enough that they could be up 3-1. I mean, there's no question. But so the value is with Vancouver. But for me, again, yeah, like I say, how can you go away from a guy who just continues to dominate on the ice?
All right, so the two props today from Jonathan Davis, Igor Shesterkin under 30.5 saves for the Rangers tonight, and then Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers over 1.5 points in the Oilers-Canucks Game 5 back in Vancouver. We won't be able to talk to you before tomorrow's two Game 6s, but I wanted to get your thoughts. Bruins staved off elimination. They are back on their home ice for Game 6, trying to knot up their series against the Florida Panthers at 3 apiece. Florida's still a favorite in that game, about -150. And then the Stars and the Avalanche staving off elimination last night with their 5-3 win over the Stars. Stars still up 3-2 in that series, but we're back in Colorado where the Lanch are a slight favorite in Game 6 tomorrow. Any thoughts on either of those two?
Well, some interesting numbers with both those. So the Colorado Avalanche are 6-0 in a series when they trail 3-1 in game number 6, or game number 5. They've won 6 straight games. But they're 2-14 in game number 6 when they trail 3-2. So interesting numbers there. Look, Dallas is the better team, but that was a gutsy win by the Colorado Avalanche last night.
Yeah.
They look like a team, you know, especially after what happened to them, you know, in game number 4, that I just didn't think they were going to have it in them. But, you know, look, Dallas's goaltender, Jake Oettinger, came up short. He's just not one of his better games. He has to be better. You know, for me, the over is the play in this one. I love the value. I just think that, you know, these two teams traditionally, I think it's now 10 of their last 13 games, regular season and playoffs, have gone over. So I'll play the over right now. That's what I'm looking at. And in Boston and Florida, Yeah, look, Boston's going to get a boost from getting their captain, Brad Marchand, back. It looks like he will return after missing the last two games. The Bruins are just like a lunch pail hockey team. They don't have the talent that Florida has, but they just keep gutting out victories. Still, at the end of the day, for me, Florida is the much deeper team. They had a bit of a hiccup in game number five. I think they win game number six. And I think, I would play Florida on the puck line.
All right. So let me ask the basic question. Who's in the finals? Who's in the Stanley Cup finals, in your opinion, and who wins it?
I think it's Dallas and Florida in the Stanley Cup final. And, oh, God, I'll go with Florida right now because I think they've got the best goaltender between the two.
In Bobrovsky, we're talking about. Okay.
In Bobrovsky. In Bobrovsky, we trust more than right now. We trust Jake Oettinger.
All right. And then here's my question for next year. Obviously, we don't know the numbers. We don't have all of the betting markets up at all. But give me a team that either they snuck into the postseason, maybe they didn't even make the playoffs at all, that you think your hunches will be undervalued in betting markets heading into next season.
Oh, God. A team that's going to be undervalued in betting markets next season.
In other words, they got the worst of it this year.
I'm trying to think. You know what? I'm going to go with the Salt Lake whatevers. I think I would play their point total over next season.
The Utah Yetis. That's what that's what it's going to be, Jonathan.
Utah Yetis.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Matt Brown and I kicked around the list last week of what they should
I remember. I remember. Yes.
I like
but remember,
that.
We talked about, don't we want to have the Utah Blizzard so they could face the Carolina Hurricanes?
That's right. That's what Jonathan wanted, yeah. You want storms colliding.
Utah Yetis right. is hot.
Yeah, that's
good.
Hot, yeah.
I like it.
Yetis is hot.
All right, Jonathan, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Jonathan Davis, everybody. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at West Coast HKY. That's West Coast Hockey. Host of host of Ice Cap on Sirius XM NHL. Host of Show Me the Money, the hockey betting podcast called Show Me the Money. Check it out.
Fan vote for the new name of the Utah team.
Utah Yetis. I like that.
Yeah, and it's going to be Utah. It won't be Salt Lake City, which that was the first question I had for Matt because, you know, right. The name kind of goes with the together.
Right, because the Yeti has been discovered in Utah.
No, but like Salt Lake City Yetis doesn't flow
no, I
as
understand.
Well as Utah Yetis.
Utah Yetis would still be better than the oxymoron that is the Utah Jazz.
Right, yes.
Jumbo
there,
Shrimp.
There were a lot of names we had to question. We were like, what does this have to do with Utah? And then we Google and we're like,
Guest host, Utah Jazz. Of course, they hold over from New Orleans, which did make sense. More NFL schedule next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game. I'm Gil Alexander. Coming up, we're going to talk NFL schedule, more NFL schedule. But first, here's our own Stormy Bonatoni with your moment of Zin.
This is your betting moment of Zin, brought to you by Zin Nicotine Pouches. Find your moment of Zin at Zin.com. Stormy Bonatoni here at VSiN, the sports betting network, talking a little coach of the year in the NFL. Jim Harbaugh is back in the league and already leading the way on the odds board at 8-1. The Chargers' new head man has turned around every team he's coached in short order, and oddsmakers expect that to be the case again in 2024. Bears head coach Matt Eberflus is the second shortest shot at 9-1 after landing two offensive studs in the top 10 of the draft. Number one pick, Caleb Williams, as well as wide receiver Rome Odunze. Chicago won 5 of their last 8 games to end the season and are hoping the marked improvement on defense carries over to open the season. Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans, who nearly won the award a year ago, both sit 11-1. This has been your daily betting moment of Zin. Learn more about Zin's smoke-free nicotine patches at Zin.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zin is intended for adult nicotine users over 21 years of age.
Thank you, Stormy. Stormy, by the way, going to be on the show tomorrow.
Yes, she will. UFL preview.
Yeah.
And now getting close to the end of the season, I believe.
Remember the time we were coming on after Stormy over the one of the times they let us do a show from Circa, and I said, hey, Storms. And you were like, do you know her well? Do you call her Storms? And I'm like, I do not.
I'd like to say I jokingly said that.
You did not jokingly say that. Said it right in front of both of us. I'm like, I do not.
I didn't know you two knew each other that well.
We get tweets at Biddy the Book. Mike Stacks. I believe the Bruins will come back to win the series, like the Panthers did last year, to them. Series 5-1 and home dogs Friday. I will ride the Bruins train. Let's go.
Where you been at, Mikey Stacks? Delray Beach native going against the Florida Panthers. Watch out.
By the way, shout out to J.D. Emmons from Alabama who just stopped by. We love J.D.
Great seeing him.
Larry Fresh, people questioning the more than a producer tag. Never met Kelly. The swinging arm walk is proof. Oh, you know about that, man. Pronounced swinging arm on this kid.
You don't understand how, like...
You can't walk next to him.
You don't understand, like, how, like, self-conscious I am that you... the fact that you brought that up. You know those things you wonder...
You are welcome.
You know those things, like, you wonder about yourself? Like, do I do this weird...
Oh, yeah. Pronounced, you have a pronounced arm swing.
That's one of those things I've wondered about before. And then you just straight up called me out on it. And I'm like, well, clearly it's a thing I do then. It is a thing I do.
I was worried that I would take incoming because standing too close to you, I was like, whoa, hey.
It's really I know this is something I've complained about for years, but it is when you work in casinos in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, we are very much, I mean, especially Gil and I, right? It's wake up, get ready for the show, and we're going in, and we know exactly where we're going. So we arrive at a casino, and I'm going from point A to point B, but I've got to traverse a lot of things between it, right?
Excellent use of traverse.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But what happens in Vegas, and I don't blame anybody, but you get a lot of people on vacation who are like, hey, look at the bright lights, and I'm going to walk all slow and stop at escalators and thing like that, and you're like, so you got to spin move and get around them and all that stuff.
Swim moves.
Yeah, you got to swim move through them. Yeah.
This is from the numbers guys. Gil, maybe get in now. Chef was 4-1 this morning. Now up to 5-1. I did get in on him exactly 5-1.
Ian,
Auburnist. I would bet on Kelly completing the running of the porta potties at the Preakness. Good friend, Shillionaire. Mugatu at those odds has to be a must bet. However, my only concern is, can he turn left? Zoolander reference.
Show.
Steven Vegas. Counting London, the Jets have 7 standalone games in the first 11 weeks. Do you think the morning shows on ESPN might have something to talk about this season? So thankful for VSiN as a supreme alternative. Thank you, Steve. That should be our motto. We promise we will not talk about the Jets incessantly every morning. In that voice, by the way. Greg Naresian. The only phrase better than a packed second hour would have been crack up next after the break. Oh, thank you, Greg, and crack appreciates that. But again, with the schedule release, he went to Jersey because he can get down more money there than he could in Nevada. Because one day when we get sports betting here, man, when it is legalized in Nevada, oh, what a day that's going to be. This is from Martle. Gil, the term you're looking for with Grant Hill is word salad. Maybe word vomit or verbal diarrhea are too harsh. Word salad, one of my favorite phrases ever that I use on this show. It's not even the word salad so much as it is he must hear himself say words.
Yeah. It's
the weirdest thing.
It's like it's kind of stating the obvious sometimes, but it's like, oh, it's my airtime. Let me talk.
It's a lot of, right. It's a lot of Ian Eagle stops talking and he goes, and let's say Oklahoma.
It's my turn, so I have to say something.
Let's say OKC scores. He's like, OKC, trusting their teammates, getting to the rack. It's like, oh, thanks, Grant. Appreciate that. It's like that's what he does. He's just stuff like that. Yeah. Trusting their teammates, getting in the flow, getting into the rhythm, scoring a bucket. This is from Disc Golfer. The backup beeping in the background is a nice touch today. I can't watch the stream and they're doing construction.
Yeah, we got it. We're fixing security cameras.
Listen,
or something.
The D is always improving.
They're actually doing a great job of trying to time out our breaks. It's just
they are really doing it's a yeoman's effort.
It really is. It's just, you know, it's not going perfectly.
Scoreline didn't understand that I was being sarcastic about not understanding the assume thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tweeted back at him. Said
he actually texted. He's like, when you assume, Gil, you make a... I'm like, no, I know. I was just being cheeky about it. Michael Burns. Oh, this is interesting. Listen to this. Mike Palm was on FTM this morning trumpeting the exact scenario you were just talking about with Survivor. He said, I guess he's Palm, I think he means.
Okay.
He said it would hurt entries if only 2 games used on Christmas, I assume he means. That was part of the Palm, Benson, and D. Stevens meeting. Benson and Palm thought it would hurt entries. Oh, look at that.
I mean,
I am not crazy. I'm telling you, if there's only... The thing with Survivor is, I love it so much, and I think I speak on behalf of so many people. It's not about the money. It's about the journey of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that you get that far, and there's only going to be a 2-game thing that you have to plan for, and you can be not... I'm not playing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go through that.
I mean, I think that's a, I think it was a, that's a good initial thought by you. And tip of the cap, you know, yes. to all the circuit guys for yes. being aware of that already. I mean, I think I would have thought that would have taken a couple months, right? Of like, you catch some incoming for some people about it, maybe, and then you start to rethink about it. But good on them for already being aware of that.
Absolutely good on them. Jason H11, arm swing to the level of George Jefferson? No. George Jefferson is more of a strut thing. Kelly's is just, Kelly can't control the, just look at this. I forgot
it was part of my reasoning for walking. That was why I brought up the casinos walking through. You got to motor through sometimes. And sometimes it just helps the momentum to
go. Yeah, bro, you know? Those are weapons, man. Forrest Lehman, tell Kelly to hit up Raquel Welch for walking hips. Oh, well, that's Raquel Welch. All right, Steve Fezzik. You want to know what Steve Fezzik bet week one in the National Football League?
You want to check out week one lines first?
Well, let's do that. Week one lines, everybody, in the NFL. People are just like, what did he bet on?
What did he bet on? We can roll through them, and then we can talk about what Steve bet.
Most of these are short lines. There's very few lines that are longer than four-ish or 4.5. Chiefs favored by 3 over the Ravens. That's on Thursday night. The next day, Friday, in Sao Paulo. Eagles favored by 1.5 over the Packers.
Tease up back.
What's that?
Tease up the back.
Oh, you already got the teaser leg on the pack. Giants are 1-point favorites of the Vikings Sunday. Or hosting the Vikings, pardon me. Giants are 1-point favorites. Texans 1.5-point favorites on the road at the Colts. That's interesting. Bengals 8.5. This is the biggest line. This is what Waylon was talking about. Bengals are 8.5-point favorites at home against the Pats. Bears 4.5 at home against the Titans. By the way, I still feel like that Bears line we talked about the other day is the most curious of all the lines.
Yep.
Saints 4.5-point favorites at the hosting the Panthers. Pardon me. Falcons are 2.5-point favorites hosting the Steelers. These are all Week One. Flip.
I'm laying the 2.5.
What's that?
Laying the 2.5 with the Falcons.
Are you? Dolphins 3.5 hosting the Jaguars. Also the Jaguars. Bills 7-point favorites hosting the Cardinals. Oh, full touchdown. Seahawks 4.5-point favorites hosting the Broncos. Chargers 3 hosting the Raiders. Browns are 1-point favorites hosting the Cowboys. Bucks 3.5 with the hook against the Commanders. How dare they? Lions 3-point favorites hosting the Rams. And the Niners 5.5-point favorites. No man's land hosting the Jets on Monday night. Fezzik, bet these. Are you ready? There could be some pass post fines involved.
The can I ask one question real quick? Please. These totals, right?
Yes, sir.
These seem back to kind of more regular NFL totals.
Let me get to the Fezzik thing. There's something about totals here, too. All right.
Steven
Fezzik will be on the show tomorrow. He said he bet the Chargers big, -2.5 versus the Raiders. He also bet them a little at -3. He bet Atlanta, -2.5 versus Pittsburgh. Is that a pass post right there? Is there a line?
No, we had 2.5. I said I like that one. That's a bet for me, too.
He took the Giants +1 versus Minnesota. He laid the 6 and 6.5 with Buffalo versus Arizona. Now it is 7. He took the Denver-Seattle under 43.5 and 43. He took Detroit and laid the 3 versus the Rams. He also took the under 49.5 in the Jacksonville-Miami game and the under 51.5 in the Rams-Detroit game. He says, bold prediction, none of these numbers will be available ever again starting tomorrow.
I mean, think about how much we talked last year, last regular season, about how much totals had moved and the unders hitting.
Listen to this. So he says, I think you will likely see a little movement on the unders in pretty much every game.
Yep.
If you like unders, bet now. If you like overs, wait. I know that's opposite what we typically do, but these totals are too high. Perhaps I'm underestimating the rules changes on the kickoff. It looks like the markets feel that's going to increase totals, which certainly is the case. I just don't think it's going to be worth more than 1 point tops.
Yeah. Perfectly said by Steve. I'm kind of just thinking about it now. All these feel a little high.
Fezzik tomorrow. Adam Burke is next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's VSIN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Little PGA update at Valhalla. What's in your head more, the pronounced arm swing or Valhalla?
I mean, I can't hear or read the word Valhalla this week now without having you singing in my head like that.
You are quite
Valhalla. Good.
Xander Schauffele extends the lead. He is 7-under through 13. This dude got a three-stroke lead over your guy, Tony Finau, who's 4-under through 8, and a four-stroke lead over a trio of golfers that does include Jordan Spieth.
You know what? I'm no longer liking my Keith Mitchell first-round leader chances, even though he's not even teed off yet.
Yeah, Xander's putting the number way out there.
Yeah, going low.
Xander, who has... He started on the back nine, so he has birdied... It's a bogey-free round. He birdied 11, 13, 15, 16, 18, and now rounding into the front nine, 2 and 4. I mean, he is just destroying this course. As he does, pre-Sundays, you know how it works. Scottie Scheffler yet to tee off as well. That's coming up later. Again, my only tennis play today is on Danielle Collins, which brings us to one of our favorite guests. Always fun to have him on the show. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the glue that holds this whole operation together. It's Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripods on Twitter, and also the co-host of the Double Play podcast, VSiN Managing Editor. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Yeah, just finished up a new episode. So for people that aren't subscribed, please do. And for people that are subscribed, you got one coming here soon.
Double Play podcast, you do it Monday through Friday, Adam?
Monday and Thursday.
Monday and Thursday. Okay. Mondays and Thursdays, Double Play podcast, Baseball Nirvana with Adam Burke. Speaking of which, by the way, a little update on the Guardians. I lied to you, Adam. I took them again in May. Apologize, just borrowing them for another month. They are 8-7 in the month of May. This was different from March, April, because March, April, they started with the easy part of the schedule early. This one ends easy, but I had them, you know, Kelly, how I did the series by series. I thought they would have to be like 10-5 right now headed into the nether regions of this May bet. Still a couple tough series. They got Minnesota here for 3, and then they have one more series before they get into the Colorados and the Angels and the Nationals of the world. So a little bit behind the eight ball because the Phillies and Yankees are never losing a baseball game. How do you feel about the Guardians thus far in the year beyond the bets, though, Adam?
Well, I think you wish that they would have played a little bit better in Chicago when they lost 3 out of 4.
That was the one.
To the lowly White Sox. And also, I mean, Colorado's won 7 in a row all of a sudden. So, you know, I mean, the Rockies still aren't any good, but... You know, who knows? I mean, there's a lot going on in baseball right now where some of the bad teams are playing pretty well. Cleveland is a deeply, deeply flawed team. You know, I mean, I think Stephen Vogt has pushed all the right buttons. The bullpen's been terrific. And the way that he's leveraged the bullpen has been really, really impressive. But offensively, they continue to have lots of problems. And Kyle Manzardo has not come up and been kind of the elixir that they were hoping for. But, you know, I mean, a team that's still, you know, they battle. They create opportunities. They're a very good base running team. A good defensive team as well. So they're able to overcome some of those offensive shortcomings. The thing that worries me is if power around the big leagues does come back up and it's been down at almost a historic level over the last 10 years so far this season, if teams start hitting more home runs, then Cleveland kind of reverts back into what we saw last year, where because they don't have power, they don't have contact quality, contact authority, it'll put them behind the eight ball offensively. So we'll see how things go as the weather warms up because their pitching staff is a little bit terrifying as well right now on the starting side.
This is such a great point, and by the way, such a great advertisement for the Double Play podcast because that's the kind of thing that baseball bettors think about. I said this about the Giants for years, that based on their ballpark, which besides Coors Field is the biggest pitcher's park there is in baseball, they kind of had to do their roster construction, you know, as a team that wasn't a home run hitting team. And by the way, home run hitters don't want to come play there to begin with. But yes, you're right. If the run environment becomes, you know, explodes into being this much more home run friendly thing and balls are flying out of parks, they're behind the eight ball by definition almost to start with, right? And so the way that the Guardians are is sort of similar to that. You're right. If it starts being a different kind of run environment, all the more difficult for a team like that to excel. What has been your, as you look at the schedule today, what did you come up with? Any bets today?
It's really tough today. I mean, there's only 6 games out there. You got the Dodgers is over a $3 favorite. Houston's over a $2 favorite against Oakland. And I would have liked Oakland if it wasn't Joey Estes on the mound because Christian Javier is just not the same dude. You know, as I kind of look at it right now, and I'm trying to sort my way through it because we had to record the pod this morning, but kind of leaning towards the Pirates a little bit, just because Jared Jones has been really good, hasn't allowed more than three runs in a start yet this season. And Justin Steele, you know, third start back off the IL, got knocked around by the Pirates in Paul Skene's debut last weekend. But Steele's not generating much swing and miss right now. So I don't think that the quality of the stuff is fully there. I think that's more of a, you know, kind of a coin flip type of game. So I think getting the Pirates at, you know, a decent plus money price here is kind of attractive in that one. I was also looking a little bit at Reds Dodgers under. I don't expect Cincinnati to do anything against Tyler Glasnow. Most teams don't. And Cincinnati is really, really bad offensively this season. Brent Suter opens. Nick Martinez will be the bulk guy. I think that's kind of a more familiar, kind of comfortable role for him. So kind of thinking under 7.5 a little bit in that Dodgers game. Not sure if I'll fully pull the trigger, but I do think of the options here today. Pirates at the plus money price, and a game I think it's kind of a toss-up, is probably my favorite look on the board.
Was there a season-long bet you made before the season started that you're particularly happy with right now? Is there one you're particularly not happy with?
Well, I mean, the A's are kind of slowing down a little bit, but I did play their season win total over. I mean, you know, their season win total number had them losing 105 games, and I really didn't expect them to be as bad as that preseason market was suggesting. And to this point, you know, for the most part, they've played pretty well. I mean, you know, I think that when they get Luis Medina back, he'll be another nice upgrade to that rotation. The bullpen's been exceptional, although really scared they will trade Mason Miller for a gigantic return here sometime throughout the course of the season. So I do like that. And I also played the Marlins season win total under. So, I mean, I'm not exactly counting that one yet, not spending that money yet, but the Marlins are a dumpster fire, and that looks like it's going to continue.
Did you have any thoughts on the schedule release yesterday in the NFL, particularly as it relates to your Brownies?
Nothing really on the Browns. I mean, I, you know, the one thing I thought about, and we've got some content up over at VSiN.com for you to check out, week one, all the week-by-week odds, Zach Cohen did, you know, some of the schedule situations and all of that. One thing that really stood out to me, and I mean, we knew this based on the opponents because we knew who all these teams were going to play. We just didn't know exactly when
right.
they were going to play them. I am pretty interested and may wind up with a ticket, kind of shop around town here a little bit, for Jared Goff to win MVP. I mean, the guy's playing three games outside. One of them is in November in Green Bay, the first week in November, so it shouldn't be awful. And then one of them is late in the year in San Francisco. I mean, he's got the one bad weather game right before Christmas in Chicago that's a possibility, but Jared Goff's going to play three games outside, and two of them the weather should be just fine. So I think that Goff and the Lions offense can really cook this year.
And Goff was one of these guys who we have many times over the years. I remember specifically there was a primetime game in Chicago where the temperature must have dipped to an Arctic 31 degrees or something like that, Adam. And he looked so cold. He was like, I don't know how to deal with this kind of weather. So for him in particular, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, again, I think this Lions offense is pretty loaded. They got a lot of weapons around him. And yeah, I mean, late in the year, you don't necessarily want a guy playing San Francisco's defense, but if you're going to play a road game outside in December, San Francisco, Santa Clara is not a bad place to do it. So yeah. One bad weather game, all these indoor games, early bye week might be a bit of a struggle, but man, I think Jared Goff is definitely live to have a really big season there for Detroit.
Yeah, that sucks when you have the bye week five, and then you have 3 to 4 months of straight football to deal with. That is the one caveat to all of that. Matt Brown, our own Matt Brown, bet Jared Goff last week, right?
MVP? Yeah, we were talking about on the show. I was a little surprised to hear him. Yeah, he's loaded up on it already, 40-1.
40-1. 40-1 on Jared Goff to win MVP. Adam, appreciate it, man. VSiN Managing Editor Adam Burke. Guardians will be returned to you intact on June 1st, sir.
I appreciate it. I don't know what state and kind of shape they'll be in, but I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, Adam.
How's it going, guys?
Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripods, one of the great Twitter handles of all time.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Adam expects them to be intact, maybe, when you give them back.
Yeah, he did. It's interesting. He says deeply flawed team, which is a, you know, it's an honest assessment, but with him, it's a little, you know, I think he's hard on his own team.
I was going to say, we always know those guys. Adam's definitely the guy who's a little bit more cautious, pessimistic with his teams, I think, at best.
He's right about Stephen Vogt, though. He's done a great job so far, first-time manager. Tony Finau within two strokes. Early going. at the PGA Championship at Valhalla. Schauffele 7-under, Finau 5-under through 9, Schauffele through 13. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.